This is URN.
This July, a British Airways plane attempting to land at Gatwick narrowly evaded a drone of significant size, which has prompted legislative development towards drones. Though Captain Steve Liddell's landing successfully protected 130 passengers, these lives were put at risk, says the UK Airprox Board, who also asserted that, thankfully, the closest the drone came to the plane was just above the right-hand wing. This event is of particular concern as earlier that month in 2017, the Department of Transportation found some drones are capable of causing significant, if not detrimental, damage to a plane's windscreen, prompting the development of a number of regulations, requiring a competency test for drones weighing 250 grams or above, which incidentally is about half the weight of a supermarket bag of pasta. Those under 20 kilograms cannot fly above 120 meters and must be kept at least 150 meters and above from any highly populated areas. Though the government continues to issue penalties and develop harsher regulations, with a clear possibility of events like this, should recreational use of drones simply not just be made illegal?
I don't think drones are inherently dangerous, so I don't think we need to make all recreational use we don't need to like prohibit all recreational use. However, I do think we need to have like no fly zones where you can have where there are sufficient punishments in place to dissuade people from flying there. For example, around prisons, around airports, around areas where they could pose a higher threat, for example, around primary schools. So, you know, if you're just flying a drone around a beach, that's fine. That's not necessarily hurting anyone. But areas where it can be used maliciously, I think we need to begin to legislate on that, as they are, you know, part of society now.
Definitely agree. I think there's certain areas where there's definitely certain areas where they just shouldn't be allowed. But it's the same, I think, with a lot of things, not just drones in these areas. They have quite tight security. And in areas, well, for example, even festivals, if you think about it, places like that, they're recreational areas, but drones and things shouldn't be available in those areas.
Yeah, but what I would then say is, if someone could that easily, and this wasn't a toy drone, this is what the UK Airprox Board, and Airprox is a term that's used to define a near miss with a plane and kind of a UFO. The way they define this was certainly not a toy, and that's a quote. This was a meter in diameter. This was a large drone. So if it's that easy to get something that big in the path of a plane, then couldn't it potentially be used maliciously? And that's a problem, because how could we then prevent that?
Well, maybe there should be legislation on the size of drones that can be bought for recreational purposes in shops and toy shops, and the size of them that are no longer counted as toys and are therefore should be prohibited.
Even so, a small drone can break a plane's windscreen. Could think about the speed of a plane. If a tiny drone can create that degree of damage, then and moreover, the main problem being that it's so easy to just fly a drone up.
But I think that's the same with a lot of things. I mean, I'm not saying this is something that anyone should do, but it's not that difficult to sit in a car park of an airport with a gun or with something dangerous and pose a serious threat.
Well, absolutely, but as I said, that's an accessibility thing, because a gun is much harder to obtain than a drone.
Not the same for like model aircraft? You know, some of them can be huge. My sister thought the other day she'd actually seen a plane crash. But what happened, it was like sort of a good like 100 meters away when we were in the car, there was just a model aircraft that the engine had broken or something. But it genuinely looked like an even further away plane crash. It was quite disturbing. You could see the horror on her face until she realized what it was. But, you know, for that reason, I don't think it is drones specifically that are the problem, but it's being able to fly them in important airspace.
But how can they restrict that? I mean, there's not the easiest way of... I get what you're saying, because
that's exactly my point. How can we restrict it? And viably, the only way, and it's the same thing, how do we stop someone from shooting a plane?
Well,
stop people from getting the tools with which they could...
You could create a deterrent. I mean, obviously, the penalty, if you made it illegal to fly in those areas, there would be a penalty for it, which you could
Well, we don't get a lot of cases of model aircraft being flown right by planes.
Well, exactly.
And there's a reason for that, because people
don't
cannot
want to die.
Do it. And I think drones is a very similar case, sort of an instance of saying, all right, you can't do this here. It's not like you're not going to be able to see a drone until it's next to the plane. Like, you'll see it coming in. But if there are rules that say we can't have it within sort of X perimeter of this area, then you can easily, you know, make a call to airport security, make a call to the local constabulary, and they can use whatever means we end up sort of inevitably legislating to bring it down.
But that's the point. How would you easily bring down a drone? You'd have to have quite a big airspace, because, I mean...
So I'm sure there's some sort of fancy science way you can intercept. I have no idea. I don't know how science works. That's why I'm a politics student. But in a theoretical sense, I'm sure there is a way that you can intercept, what's it, let's just, radio waves, I assume.
So I'm moving away from drones and planes. You said earlier, Lizzie, about drones in prisons.
Yeah, I think there was a story, I can't remember at this very moment in time if it was in the UK or the US, because that all sort of blurs into one in my mind.
I think it is in both, actually.
But yeah, there have been instances of drones being used to drop drugs and other contraband materials into prisons. And now, as a result, prisons are beginning to have to, you know, create their own policies on how to stop drones flying across their airspace, or how to get this contraband before prisoners do. And I think it's a really fascinating way of seeing how modern technology can be used for good, but can also, you know, be used badly.
Yeah. It's a threat. But the problem with prisons is they're not, I mean, I haven't been to many, but they're not in their own personal space. I mean, they have their own space, but they're obviously sometimes right in the middle of, maybe not in the middle of city centres, but not far away. And so that's harder to close off airspace, I'd say, than an airport.
Yeah, well, I think that's one of the issues we have with all this expanding technology and the speed at which it's expanding, is that it's very easy to say, well, you know, we can stop model aircraft flying over, or we can stop someone getting a kite and flying that over. But drones, the speed at which they can move, how they move as well, they're more agile than like model aircraft or kites. And so I don't particularly have an answer. You know, I'm a 21-year-old student who knows nothing about science. But I'd be interested to see how we develop the sort of legislation that is sort of, like I said earlier, inevitably going to have to exist as technology moves forward.
I feel like drones as a recreational toy is something that is maybe potentially controversial on developing them further as toys, because obviously they can be used with cameras, they can be used as all sorts, and I feel like they pose more of a threat the more we develop them.
Would you say that, so back to my argument, which is why shouldn't we just ban drones, would you say that kind of having to have staff be more vigilant, or prison staff be more vigilant to seeing drones in the sky above, you know, a courtyard or something, do you think that would be a waste of money to then have to, you know, that's additional training, that's additional staffing?
You know, the same as we do when new weapons are created, or the same as we do when any new threat is created, you have to, or not even just in a threat sense, imagine you're a teacher and suddenly a new style of teaching long division comes out. You have to go to the training, and now you have this new skill in your arsenal to help teach to the best of your ability. I think it's the same way. If you are a security guard at a prison, then you go to training to be able to keep both people inside and outside as safe as possible.
But at that, would it be essentially, what I'm saying is it, would it be more worth government money to legislate against drones and to completely prohibit them than to spend money on, one, introducing new regulations and training and staff to protect airports and doing the exact same for prisons?
I don't think so, because so many people already own drones. Like, what do you do for all of the people? It was like, did anyone see the news? I think it was last week, where I can't remember who it was, one of the Conservative MPs suggested that we legislate against wood burners. And the problem is, so many people already own wood burners. So what do you do for those people who already own the item in which you're trying to ban? Just do we confiscate them? Because
long term technology will develop, and eventually the item they're trying to prohibit will lose, you know, it won't, not as many people will have it, or it won't be as up to date, and it won't be as much of a threat. It won't be in production, but I mean that's a very, very long term way of going about
it. It's also because it's the same thing as when I don't remember, I think it might have been Blair's government said that there was a water problem in London, so there was, you couldn't really, you couldn't use your hose as much, or you had a certain amount of kind of hose allowance
hose
for that.
Pipe ban.
Yeah. Everyone has a hose pipe. It's about how much you use it. If drones are banned, you just don't use them, and it's a criminal offence to do so.
Regulating use, it's not banning use.
I think it was for a summer, or pretty much, but I think they imposed, if you got caught using it, I think you were, there was some sort of...
Well, likewise, if someone... If we were to ban drones, if someone's caught using one...
But it was also temporary.
Yeah.
Yes, that's true.
But
yeah, like the idea to impose a temporary legislation full time. Like the reason temporary legislations exist is because there is an immediate problem that needs to be dealt with, and then you can go back to your normal lives as and when. And that's how things like that work. When you have such a huge amount of people who, like you said, everyone or nearly everyone has access to a hosepipe. And I don't think the two stories equate because...
Well, yeah, no, not entirely.
Because because people spend a hell of a lot more on drones than they do on hosepipes. And B, because this isn't you can't use it for a month. It's you can't use it ever again. And I think that's where the problem
lies.
Or
it's all restricted to private property.
Literally in your own gardens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they're so cool when they're used with cameras. Like
that's about regulation.
You can get companies who use them. I mean, there's a company who, I mean, they do it for schools and things. They fly over and
Or people do it for weddings and stuff, don't they?
But that's a company. I think that's different potentially.
Gatwick. So it's about like having to apply for like permits to use them instead.
Yeah,
be interesting.
Maybe it would be better to regulate them, but then the danger with that is that they could be used maliciously.
This is URN.